Yeah.
Hey kids, we're back season and we're back in our shit. What's going on, guys?
Well, it's 11 a.m. here in Australia, so it's 9 p.m. there in the States, where you guys are. And look, we've got lots to talk about tonight. There's been a lot of stuff going down with our little friend Ghislaine. I can't even say her name, so is it Ghislaine? Jizzy Lane? What is she?
Vera's about to go off. If all you,
I know, I'm only bringing this bitch up just to get Vera into it.
All right, let's fire Vera up. Here we go.
All right. Wait. So let's just go straight into Ghislaine. Okay, so Ghislaine's not cute about being in, she's not enjoying being in prison right now.
Oh, that poor thing. I feel so bad for her.
Oh, fucking hell. There we go. Here's Ghislaine. Put herself in prison after helping guys rape women. Fuck you, Ghislaine. Fuck off.
She's lucky she's still alive. Wasn't her boyfriend dead by now? Jesus.
Katie, do you want to read it or me or Steve?
All right. Well, I can't pronounce her name. So Ghislaine Maxwell doesn't like being in prison. Maxwell is now claiming she's being held under erroneous conditions at federal jail in Brooklyn, New York. Her complaints, which have had a statement released by her defense counsel. I have my glasses. Also,
okay, I can read it then. I'll take it. She does not like being under suicide watch, despite not being suicidal.
Led to a statement released by her defense counsel, also mentioned she does not like being under suicide watch, despite not being suicidal. Guests,
where are you?
Guests of Ghislaine isn't too concerned. I don't know who guests is. I didn't read that part. Guess Ghislaine isn't too concerned. Ghislaine isn't too concerned about what happened to Mr. Epstein. Exactly. As a result, Epstein.
Ms. Maxwell is being treated worse than other similarly situated pretrial detainees, the counsel explained, which significantly impacts her ability to prepare a defense and be ready for trial on the schedule date by the court.
On the schedule.
Maxwell has also complained to her counsel about the lack of access to standard prison resources. What the hell she thinks she's getting in prison? She's going to get like three square meals, a bed, and a toilet. All right. Maxwell claims she was subject to multiple cell searches a day, as well as body scans, which had limited her recreational time. Oh, poor baby. Probably should have trafficked sex and been involved in a ring where people suddenly drop off the perch then, huh? Yeah, you definitely wrote that one.
I did. I wrote that one.
Fuck off, Ghislaine.
So what do you really think, Vera? I know, look, we're going to give you the floor for a minute and just let us know.
This bitch pimped out all these young girls to these dirty old men for at least millions of dollars. So you got to sit in a cell for a minute and a half? Fuck you. Fuck you hard. Vera, everyone's hard is they rape those girls. I'm sorry.
Vera has spoken.
Where's my banner? Katie approved.
There we go.
James always puts up for me. Vera's opinions do not reflect those of everyone.
No, that was a generic one. Because it turned out a few of us were being a bit out of line.
However, I feel like we can all agree that sex trafficking is gross. So,
I'm pretty sure. Exactly. Oh, whatever misery she suffers will never equal what those girls suffer through their whole life. You know what, girl? You made your choice. They really couldn't. So,
she's in better
hands. I with the fleas out there.
Freaking holy! Did the Trump team decide that sex trafficking is their drumbeat for the next election?
Yeah, that's a little odd, isn't it?
I have a theory.
Yeah,
are they going to grab him by the pussy?
Like Trump's a sex trafficker. We have pictures. Video. We see him doing that little dance with Epstein. Fuck him.
Put your mic near your mouth a bit more.
Sorry.
There you go. Now we can hear you.
I'm swearing this. I feel like part two. Woo! Yeah, is it just not too coincidental that she's still alive? Like, Jeffrey Epstein was gone by now. So she, I feel like she's just being kept under wraps because she might know a little too much.
Well, no, he knew too much. That's why he's dead.
Yeah, but for the Trump administration.
I said from the beginning, if she wants to stay alive, she needs to spill her guts. She needs to get on TV and talk it all out with Good Morning America.
She might have a deal, so she's not going to disappear, you know?
This is true. Who knows? But you know what? Speaking of the Trump administration, we have recently seen that one of my heroes, the veteran journalist that broke Watergate, is writing a book called Rage. Bob Woodward, and he has come out with his recordings, and it shows us that Trump downplayed COVID, and we all knew that. We all knew it.
Well, I do have the article about that.
But now,
but I also have the Trump administration responding to these claims. So we'll read the article quickly that we posted on Uncensored when it comes up. I'm hitting it. I promise. Clicking it. There we go. Oh.
And, you know, and that wasn't the only terrible thing he said. It's also come out that he was asked if he could understand, or would he even try to understand the plight of Black people. And he said to Bob, "Oh, you've really drank the Kool-Aid, huh?" Like, come on, dude. Even if you don't believe it, just bullshit your way through it, man. You're the president, and you're talking to the man who brought down Nixon. What makes you think he's not gonna slaughter you?
New book makes accusations that President Trump acknowledged the danger of COVID-19 in recorded interviews, even as he publicly downplayed the threat of the emerging coronavirus pandemic. I can't read this in Donald's voice, sorry.
In a February 7th call with Woodward on his book Rage, due out next week. So that's a very tricky one.
It's also more deadly than even your strenuous flu.
This is deadly stuff. Humongous deadly stuff. Trump and his allies have pointed to the production of personal protective equipment and the rapid ongoing development of a vaccine as evidence that the administration's approach to the virus has been effective. Question is, why sit on this information until a book is published? Drive sales? And that's honestly kind of what I think.
His
answer was he needed to research more about the virus and about what Trump was actually doing. But see, he interviewed him back in February. So this February,
it's been a while to sort of come out and say, especially, you know, when lots of people are dying, to sort of say, well, look, actually, this is what was said to me. But he wanted it just to come out with the book.
Okay, if we're going on timeline here. So February 7th is when the interview supposedly happened. This is before it blew up in the U.S., but they had warnings back in November and December. So Trump has been sitting on this information, November, December, 3 months, okay? So he's talking to the journalist for 3 months, or talking to him after 3 months of knowledge. It's not that bad. So then it blows up. Like, it blows up. And the guy's still silent. And then, you know, the book's coming out, and now, like, let's dump this all over the place. You could argue that it was a tact move to ruin the election, kind of like the email thing. But I don't think that was it. Will it affect him? Probably. But it's going to drive up book sales more than anything.
What do you think, Vera?
I want to believe that he was sitting on it in the hopes that if he released it in this time frame, because the majority of Americans do not decide the election results or their votes until after Labor Day, want to believe that he waited because he wanted to get the maximum spin on this so that it could do the most damage to this president who could easily be reelected for another 4 years. Mm-hmm.
So good. This is a response from Trump administration. It's a minute video, so we can watch it and then get into what we think of her response to.
I think the bottom line here is that the president, by his own admission, in private, on the record, acknowledged the depth of this crisis and yet told the American people something very different. How is that, at its core, not an abject betrayal of the public trust?
The president has always been clear-eyed with the American people. He was always clear-eyed about the lives we could lose. Again, from this podium, he acknowledged that this was serious back in March, that 100,000, 200,000 lives could be lost. And with regard to Dr. Fauci, you're referring to a quote he allegedly told Bob Woodward, and I can give you quotes that we can all play on loop and video of him saying that this response was impressive, and he can't imagine anyone under any circumstance doing anything better. Dr. Fauci saying this, I can just tell you, the president, the first and only time I went and said, you need to do mitigation strongly, the response was, yes, we will do it. The second time I went with Dr. Birx to the president and said, 15 days to slow the spread are not enough. We need to go to 30 days. Obviously, there were a lot of people who had problems with that because of potential secondary effects. Nonetheless, the president went with the health recommendation. So there's a long litany of praise from Dr. Fauci, and you're referencing something he allegedly told Bob Woodward.
It's recording, you bitch!
What do you really want?
Why?
It is on record. It is recorded.
And still, there are people out there saying the left media is lying. All these left media are just the deep state. We're digging down, and all these Trump haters from the 30s. What is the QAnon theory? The deep state is so deeply hidden and so bent on destroying the Trump presidency that we're making shit up right and left.
I mean, how cool would it be if Bob Woodward took down another president? I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Well, that is my question to you guys, because you're both American. Do you think this is going to affect the next election? Do you think it's going to even be a factor, or do you think the Trump supporters are still going to stick with Trump and it won't matter whatever comes out in the media?
If it wasn't rigged, maybe.
I think a third of the country that's been behind Trump from the word go are his followers, who wouldn't believe it if they had videotape of him shooting someone on Fifth Avenue. I think a third of the country have had our eyes open for the whole time and have been going, what the fuck? And then I think the other third is like, oh, politics doesn't matter to me. So it all comes down to, can we move 4% from that one third who doesn't care into caring? Or can we move 4% from the Trumpledites that are so brainwashed into, oh yeah, shit, the country's on fire and people are dying and they're talking about taking away Social Security. Maybe I shouldn't vote for this fuckwit.
The country is literally on fire. Like, I just guys.
Well, we talked about that in the last show. California
is on fire. Okay,
it's all the way up the coast.
The West Coast is on fire, guys, and people are still dying from the coronavirus. No, I just want to make sure it's clear. Like, no one is exaggerating when we're saying the country's on fire. It's on fire, guys.
Like, to us.
Oh, well, yeah, like Australia had the fires just before Corona as well.
We're in the same boat.
These are climate change driven events. This isn't because somebody forgot to rake the fucking leaves.
To be fair,
we know it's related to a gender reveal party. In a 50-year drought.
This time.
A 50-year drought is the climactic, the climate event that's causing this. It's driving fires.
But also, folks, this is why we don't do gender reveals anymore, because they're barbaric. Gender is a social construct. And because you set the West Coast on fire. Come on.
Jeez. I mean, our bushfires could be seen from space. Like, literally, that happened last year.
So you want to be called fire, the end of last year.
But like, and everyone was like, "Oh my god, Australia's on fire!" But we didn't also have 200,000 people dying from a flu. A sense, like, do you know what I mean?
It's not a flu.
How much does it take to get rid of this asshole from, like?
I know.
How much does it take? I don't understand.
We just barely avoided a Category 5 hurricane. Woo! Country's on fire. The pandemic is still really, really bad. What else is going
to
happen?
Do you think the pandemic's giving like so much power to the governments are trying to do the best thing? I do believe that. But like we've got issues right now. There's a couple of stories that are big in the media. I haven't put them on Uncensored because they're very Australian based, where there's a young father dying of brain cancer right now. He's being treated here in Queensland. His family is in another state, New South Wales. They're not letting his family see him. They were saying they could only pick because he's got four children. They're saying pick one of the four children to come and see him while he's dying. The family couldn't do that. Apparently now that they've made exemptions and whatever, there's also another young woman whose father had died and she was able to see him on his deathbed. But now that he's dead, like he's got to have his funeral. She works in Canberra where our parliament people are, but she lives in Queensland. He's died in Queensland. Our premier is not letting her come back for the funeral. Like, do you think there's a little bit of politics at play here where they're trying
Australia,
to...
Australia, definitely. Like... It's your... No offence, it's your premier that's the problem there.
She's been named as heartless now.
Yeah, well, she's doing the best. She's doing the best she can do in an epidemiology kind of thing. She's trying to keep everyone located so the virus doesn't spread, et cetera, et cetera. That is not doing the right thing by these people, by tourism, for jobs. But she's I think she has a long-term, like, goal in mind. And sometimes that comes off as heartless, obviously. But, I mean, come on.
I think the hypocrisy there is that why have we got hundreds of AFL players allowed in from Victoria, which is a complete hotspot, and then we've allowed Hanks and his wife back in because they've got money and they're going to make money for the state filming the Elvis Presley biopic or whatever they're doing here. Like, you know, why are we still like drawing a lot, like if someone can capitalize and make money?
Because money talks. Money talks.
You know, someone who's representing a government who's for the people, which is Labor, was always about the working class and the average person. She's very much acting like a Republican.
She just needs a spray tan and some bad hair, and she might be friends with your president, girls.
Well, she if you think about it, I mean, look at the states that opened up immediately. It backfired on them horribly. And I get the need to get the economy going. You know, people have families to support. I get this, but you got to think of it as like, you know, a short-term sacrifice for long-term results. And I just don't know what to tell you. Like there were two notable teachers' deaths since school started. And the thing you'll get out of them, the criticism is, they think they're important. They think they're frontline workers. Their lives mattered. Okay. So you can, you know, of course the frontline workers matter. Of course they do. They've been out there since day one risking their lives for this. And of course that matters. But they mattered too. And then the second thing people will criticize them is that they were bigger. They were, I don't know if they would medically be considered obese or not, but they were bigger. So they'll say, well, they were overweight. Aren't they saying that's, you know, going to work against you with the coronavirus? They will, like, people will literally find any kind of reason to, like, kind of shut down these deaths. Like, oh, well, they were fat. Oh, well, they were old. Oh, well, they had asthma. It still fucking matters. That's someone's family, man. Really? What if that was your family? Do you want people saying that about your family? Like, if someone said that about my family, I'd flip shit. Like, you're not going to do that to my family.
And, like, our president is an obese? Come on. But I want to hit on one of the topics here. Frontline workers, these heroes, the unsung heroes, keeping our world safe and bringing, let's call them what they are. They're wage slaves. They're people that don't have the money to stay home and keep themselves safe. And every one of us that's been going to work through this whole pandemic has been going to work feeling like, holy shit, is my family going to die because I'm working? You know, I've got an 80-year-old mother with a heart condition. I've got a 28-year-old niece with a heart condition. My brother-in-law has a heart condition. Every single day I go to work. Am I going to bring something home that could potentially kill these people that I love?
I hear you. I mean, Kyle's been working from basically the start. I mean, it was a modified schedule, but he's been working. And, you know, we had a newborn when this happened. So he's going to work and coming home. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, are we going to kill our baby? Like, is this really what's going to happen? Or like, I just had this kid. Like, are we, like, is a pandemic really going to take out our family? And I've been back to work since the beginning of the summer. And I think my employers take it pretty serious. And I feel protected and safe. But it's still always lingering. Like, is that, you know, is the wrong person going to walk in? I mean, Jillian Michaels, she just got COVID, or she's over COVID, or she had COVID. And she said that the place that people are going to get it is the gym. So this is a fitness trainer telling you that you're probably going to get it from the gym.
Does she have a DVD coming out or something?
I have no idea. I hate that woman, but I just thought it was so, like, the irony was delicious.
I don't even know who she is.
She's the biggest loser. That she's quite
the American trainer, the one with, like,
she was real. She was real mean. She was real mean. Yeah. But she said that she, well, her claim was kind of outrageous. She said she let her guard down for an hour and she got it. And I suppose that's all it takes. I think they say, like, anything longer than 15 minutes and you're more at risk, something like that. But she said people are probably going to get it from the gym. So this is a trainer telling you not to go to the gym. That's something.
You know, like, look how it spread here when, because Queensland has cases and stuff now. There was an outbreak in a detention center just after those two charming young ladies came back from Melbourne after their shoplifting spree. Guess where they were probably hanging out?
By the looks of it, the doctor's Botox office, they were horrendous.
They were young people, like, they were just didn't care because, you know, to them, what does it matter? It's not going to really affect me. That's what they're thinking. They're not considering their community.
Their own family members are vulnerable. I want to do a winning segue here.
All right, do a winning segue.
Go.
So speaking of young people that do horrible things to their face and body, the Kardashians are coming to an end.
Oh, gosh. The
Kardashians are coming to an end.
All right, kid.
Alrighty,
Kim Kardashian announced earlier on her Instagram that their reality show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, is finally coming to an end. But why end it now? Kris Jenner has attempted to explain the decision in a recent interview with series creator Ryan Seacrest. Kris gave a rather simple answer saying, I think the number 20, well, it used to sound so good until 2020, but the number 20, it just seemed like the right time. And with what a complex and intellectual show that Keeping Up with the Kardashians were, we feel that it is pretty much about as depth in an answer we are going to get. I think whoever wrote that up, Mr. Ward, about as much
depth in an answer we're going to get from the cast members.
Ah, there we go. Sorry,
wrote that. I'm sorry. Yes. No, I probably used too many words.
Well, you know what?
That's all we need is bigger print.
We do.
Old, okay? I like to watch the show occasionally. It's mindless. You know, I can just kind of zone out.
I've never watched one episode. Never. In the whole, is it 15 years that we're doing?
I mean, you haven't missed.
Vera, are you a Kardashian fan?
I am not a Kardashian fan, but I have seen roughly a dozen or so shows. My sister is a Kardashian fan.
I mean, they're not. All right. You know, I'm not going to. I was going to say they're not solving world hunger or anything, but I will give Kim some credit. She has kind of in her. As she's gotten older, she has gotten more into activism, and I'll give her that.
She's done something with her platform, which is.
She has done some good with her platform. And I, you know, I'm curious about that, the, you know, pursuing the law school thing. I wonder if she's still going at that. I'll have to figure that out and update everyone.
See, but this is the conspiracy theory as to why now as well, with Kanye doing this whole presidential run and try to, you know. To make things unstable, and Kim's trying to rehabilitate her image. is she setting herself up to be the first lady?
Has her image ever been that good?
Well, look, coming from a porno, I think like we just haven't seen Melania's yet.
All right, let's just put this out here. Kanye's not going to win the election. There's just...
Is he still running?
In some states, he's on the ballot.
He's on the ballot in like 3 states, yeah.
He's just not going to win. Like, there's just no way. He's going to take votes away from someone, but he's not going to win. He is hoping to take votes away from Joe Biden.
Yeah. There's a whole thing that was just...
She can have her Jackie O ambitions all she wants. He's not getting there. Not in this lifetime. Sorry, Kim.
So maybe divorce is going to happen then after the cameras stop rolling, like the last one.
Oh God, they're definitely getting a divorce. Like, yeah. I don't. They probably only stuck it together just to get the divorce on the camera. Honestly, that's what I think.
Oh, you reckon that's going to be in the final season?
Oh, hell yeah, they're going to get divorced at like the end of the season or something. Like, what a way to end.
He needs to be on some mood stabilizers. This boy needs some Depakote, maybe some Thorazine. I'm not sure what, but he worried about him. Serious medication.
He does.
Elephant tranquilizer.
Well, like, I mean, look at all these stars that have had these breakdowns in the public eye. I mean, Amanda Bynes, Britney Spears. Like, it's scary to watch these people just fall apart and, like, someone needs to intervene. Help them.
Stigmatize mental illness. It happens to a lot of people. It's not a bad thing that it happened.
No.
It does not make Kanye a bad person, but we need to take away the stigma so this man can get the help he needs, because he needs some help.
No, there's no shame in having bipolar. He can't help it. It's nothing he did to do it. Just someone needs to help the guy. Holy hell. Just save him from himself. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's tough to watch.
But that being said, I will never miss the Kardashians.
Of course you won't.
You're not going to catch the reruns, Vera.
They're not going anywhere.
All right, guys, there'll be
17 spin-offs.
Let's get to the real important topic. Guys, the important topic. The important topic.
What's the important topic?
Nev Campbell, 5/5.
Oh, let's go out. Let's do it. Who's reading this one?
Oh, hells yeah, it's me. Hell yeah.
She's in.
Nev Campbell has signed on to reprise Sydney Prescott in Spyglass Media Group and Paramount Pictures' upcoming Scream 5.
Boom.
Campbell joins the already announced legacy cast members David Arquette and Courtney Cox, who will return as Dewey Riley and Gale Weathers. Scream 5 is being directed by Matt Bertinelli-Olpin and Tyler Gillette of the filmmaking group Radio Silence, who put out the incredible Ready or Not and VHS.
I haven't watched either yet.
Amazing.
I will get into those in a minute. We'll come back to this.
Yes.
From a screenplay by James Vanderbilt, Murder Mystery, Zodiac, The Amazing Spider-Man, and Guy Busick, Ready or Not, Castle Rock. Nev has stated, after spending time speaking with Radio Silence, they have shown such love, respect, and admiration for Wes Craven and all that he's created in the Scream franchise. I am beyond excited to step back into the role of Sydney Prescott and return to Woodsboro. Are you excited? Yes, I'm excited. You know what?
I'm a bit excited.
Sydney Prescott.
Vera, are you excited?
Vera doesn't care.
Sydney Prescott is my ride or die. And I am not afraid to say it. She is my ride or die.
Vera, you're muted. Vera.
I'm sorry. It's like I have zero opinion. I still have nightmares from watching Halloween when I was a teenager.
Okay, mute yourself and let's speak out for a little bit.
You need to. Have you watched Scream, Vera? The original Scream.
I have not.
It's amazing. We're gonna have an uncensored radio watch party, and we're gonna watch Scream.
You all need to come over to my house and hold my hand while we watch it.
Yeah,
and feed me popcorn, and then stay with me till I stop crying.
Okay. But anyways,
The Drew Barrymore scene's gonna do Vera in straight up.
Oh God, she is. So Sydney Prescott is my ride or die. I love her so much. She is one of those final girls that, like, always, not always, but majority of the time made the smart decisions to get the hell out of there. I mean, she was it. And I love that Nev Campbell is so loyal to Wes Craven. it just makes my little black heart so warm. I love it. I can't wait
she
for
is
it.
Not, she is not some dumb girl who can't act.
No.
She's running up the stairs, but she's running at the front door, except for when she does that. But I guess that's part of the movie. You know?
Listen, no final girl is going to be perfect. But as far as final girls go, it's going to be...
She kicked ass in every... like. She's always the one to put that last gunshot in, you know? Not in my movie.
As far as final girls go, Laurie Strode, Sidney Prescott. Done.
How do we feel about Jennifer Love Hewitt as the final girl? Because I didn't really think she cut it.
No, she was...
I thought Sarah Michelle should have been the final girl in that film, but
that's why there were only two of those movies, because she wasn't cutting it. She wasn't cutting it. Cut her out. Cut the bitch out.
Look, I think... for sure, someone is developing that sequel, right? With everyone, or with all these reboot sequels that are coming up. There's been a sequel to the original I Spit on Your Grave with the original actress, like however many years later. It's just no one, I guess,
she
saw
was
it.
In the reboot? No, it
wasn't
in
a reboot. It was like, I think it only just came out like last year, or it's, yeah.
No, I Spit on Your Grave has been out for a while. It was like.
Not the remake. It's like, oh, I can't remember. I'll have to look it up. I'll post it. I'll let you know.
Vera, don't watch that one.
Never watch that one. Okay, so for all you folks watching us geek out for a bit, I Spit on Your Grave is part of a genre called exploitation. It is exactly what you think it is. Do not watch it. It is very graphic. It's a bit much,
even for people that like the genre.
Back on topic.
We are on topic. Horror is the topic.
I'm going back to our core topic. Well, that was hard to say. David Arquette has said that they can't promise anyone's going to actually everyone's going to survive. So what do you think?
I'm okay with that, because I don't think they could go past this one, honestly. I don't think they could drag it out to a sixth. I think this one's got to be the grand finale.
This is the bridging sequel, apparently. They tried to do it with the last one with the younger cast, but I guess without doing too many spoilers for number four, the way that they set up the end of that couldn't really continue, even though it was intended to be part of a trilogy. But this, apparently, I can see at least probably one of them definitely going out, considering they didn't want to come back for number four.
Okay.
My battery is about to die. I may check out at any moment.
Okay.
We'll get on to a COVID vaccine soon for you, Vera.
Okay. I'm going to try and figure out where the plug is.
All right. So we're going to keep going with this. So rank in the Scream movies from like worst to best. 3, 4, 2, 1.
1, 2.
No, 2, 1. The first is always the best. The first is just, you can't beat that. It made horror sexy and cool and funny again, and it was still scary.
I might agree with Katie's ranking. Yeah, I think 3 is clearly the worst.
3 is terrible.
It
was still bad.
It's not a bad film. It's just not a good Scream film.
Too much comedy.
4. I liked 4, though. I thought 4 was almost a tie, but I really liked 2.
4.
And 1's obviously the best.
I didn't hate 4. I thought it was fun, but it's not better than 2, and it's definitely not better than the first one.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they're out of order. Hear me out, right? I feel like the storyline should go 1, 2, 4, 3. So the events of number 3 happened in the 4th movie. Does that make sense?
Kind of. Actually, now that you're... like, if you think about the plot of 4, but I can't... It's hard to explain without giving, like, the plot away. So, okay.
To be fair, it's nearly, like, what?
All right, I'm going to kind of...
10 years.
There's a warning. There may be accidental spoilers coming. So,
and she's going to geek out too, so get ready, guys.
Sydney wrote a book in 4, right? And she's on the book tour and she's going home. And her cousin is the new kind of target. But then it turns around that things are not what they seem, right? Mm-hmm. And Sydney still comes out on top, but we all knew this. Three.
I've got one word to say to you, Katie. Clear.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with the original.
And come on, Drew Barrymore gave up a leading role for her role.
And she chose that role. True.
It's fucking iconic, too. Like, when you think of that movie, you think of Drew Barrymore.
Exactly. Like,
as great as great.
Well, she made it what it was.
Right. As great as Ned Campbell was, as great as Skeet Ulrich was, Matthew Lillard, who is iconic in his own right. I mean, he has the best line of the movie. He does.
My parents are going to be so bad at me.
Best line of the movie, but you still think of Drew Barrymore first. You still think of her first. But yeah,
absolutely,
I love
it. So, do you think we've discussed Scream enough? Like, I'm excited about it, though. I'm so glad that they're bringing it back. I think we kind of need it right now with all the crap in the world. I think we deserve a Scream.
Well, there's lots. There's going to be lots coming because it's not released till 2022, guys. So there's going to be lots of
now.
2022. No, well, January.
Well, you know what? Let's kind of like Halloween is in the holiday is in jeopardy right now. So we need something to look forward to.
Well, you know what we're going to do, guys? Actually, who wants to announce this? Steve or Katie or me? I can do it.
Yeah, you're going to have to know what you're talking about here.
What we're going to do, guys, is I'm going to put up, look, Todd Farmer's completely on board to do it with us, but he only has an Xbox, and we all have PS4s. I do have an Xbox, but I don't have the
game
on it.
Don't get me salty about this, y'all, because Kyle deleted Friday the 13th off my goddamn system.
But you can download it again, girl.
No, we're downloading it right now, but I'm still mad about it.
Absolutely.
You heard me, Kyle. I'm mad.
Hey, Coughlin.
Hi, Coughlin.
Look, we want to do like an online we just want to get some viewers to play Friday the 13th with us on PS4, and then if it's successful, then we'll do another one on Xbox with Todd Farmer, because he's like, yeah, cool, I'll play with you. So
Todd.
if you guys are interested in joining us, please like comment your gamertag.
Yeah. Comment or message us with the and I'll put up a post just completely about that. So we'll do Friday the 13th first. We can do Dead by Daylight.
What about Until Dawn? That's a great one. I mean,
you can't play that as a group, can
that's
you?
That's true, but that's still a great
second
game.
One, I think you can. The sequel.
Oh, hold on. Let's rewind. We've cross contaminated. Until Dawn, right?
Yeah.
Who's the lead voice in Until Dawn?
Hayden Panettiere.
She hasn't been announced for 5 yet.
That's right. We're not sure if she's dead or alive. That's
she's
true.
Alive. Wes Craven said on the commentary that you purposely see Kirby still moving because they wanted to bring her back.
And if they have any respect for Craven, you bring her back.
I would be happy if she was the new Sydney Prescott. You know what I mean? I could go forward. I could go forward with Hayden.
But she's kind of a mix of
Randy, and she's like their child that they never got to have.
She's like Randy and Sydney. She's like the best of both worlds.
She's
And you know what? Hayden needs a comeback. What a good way to make it.
I know, right? Unless they're going to reboot Nashville, which I would be down with as well.
All right, so
Hold on.
Before we
I'll let you finish.
Sarah can talk.
Yep.
So send your gamer tags, play with Steve, me, and Luke on Friday the 13th. Here's your warning. I am not censoring my mouth.
Me either. Well, we're uncensored. And we'll post our gamer tags on there so you can add us on PS4 Network as well. And then we'll do a live. It will probably won't be a live stream. We'll pre-record it, but we'll put it up on the page. And it'll be a lot of fun.
And and Todd, if you're watching, I love you. I love you, Todd.
Now we're jumping the shark again, back to some serious stuff because COVID, and this is a good Vera topic right now, because Vera, I think we are registered nurses. I know we're not doctors, but we do understand some stuff.
I did actually want to ask you guys about that side effect. I can't pronounce it, but I want to know about it.
Alrighty.
Oh, so you're gonna read it?
I can read it. Yeah. Sorry, okay. I can read it. Drugs firm reveals COVID-19 vaccine test patient had neurological symptoms, as WHO chief calls for patience. A woman who received an experimental COVID-19 vaccine developed severe neurological symptoms that prompted a pause in testing, a spokesman for drug maker AstraZeneca says. The vaccine was initially developed by Oxford University after the coronavirus pandemic began this year. Temporary holds of large medical studies aren't unusual, and investigating any serious or unexpected reaction is a mandatory part of safety testing. AstraZeneca pointed out that it's possible the problem could be a coincidence. Illnesses of all sorts could arise in studies of thousands of people. And that's what people need to realize, because they're jumping on this whole big anti-vaccine, like, oh my God, it's going to cause, we don't know. This happens. It's a big body of people, thousands of test patients. What was underlying with her? That's why they're stopping the studies to investigate what's actually going on with her.
They're talking about too. I mean, you know, could it be a loss of balance? That's a neuroleptic symptom. Could it be temperature dysregulation? That's a neuroleptic symptom. What is the symptom? You know, is it just a random group of symptoms? If that's the case, then it definitely bears a lot more study. But the majority of antipsychotic medications have neurological side effects. They're neurological agents. They're working on your nervous system.
And that's the thing. Are all the people that are doing this study, are they all completely void of any other, they're not taking any other medication, they're not, you know, have comorbidities? Like, that's not clear either, because obviously they have to test on a various range of the populace, because that's the people who are going to be receiving the vaccine. So they probably need to see, well, if she's taking something, is it reacting with it? Is there something already pre-existing with her? And this is just a normal, you know, run of the mill, like run of the course of bringing out a vaccine.
I'm trying to find what it was called. You guys
remember? Oh yeah, it is there. Yeah, no, it is there. I can have a look. I'll take myself out while you guys discuss it.
Well, in this country, and I do realize that the insurance companies have completely rewritten our medical journals, but 85% of all Americans have comorbidities. Now, is that legitimate? Some insurances call pregnancy a comorbidity, which is going to affect 51% of the population, you know? So
With her, they're saying it could be transverse myelitis.
Yes, that's what it was. And I wanted to ask you guys what that entails.
Muscular symptoms. If she's got muscular inflammation. I would bet that transverse myelitis probably mimics like some of the autoimmune disorders. Just looking at the name.
Well, they were saying it was like a spinal infection, I think. And she supposedly has been released from the hospital already. So thank God it wasn't super serious.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
there's autoimmune disorders that take the spine.
Exactly. You know? And, you know, and like, look, I honestly think obviously she was treated and she's fine. Is it really a reason to say, oh, the vaccine's so terrible? Like, and I know there's a lot of anti-vaxxers and who watch our show as well, and you're completely entitled to your opinion. I disagree with it wholeheartedly.
I mean, you're not entitled to your opinion. Vaccines are safe. Anyways, Ryan, sorry.
All right, well, Katie, no, you can have a rant. I always try to be diplomatic, even though I just think it's a very foolish and reckless way of thinking, because you're putting people at risk, not just yourself, not just your children. You're putting a community at risk by.
Listen, for example, our friend Ryan Coughlin is a vegan. That's a choice. That's a parenting choice. Vaccines. Yeah. You're getting a little like risky here. That's something I'm not really willing to.
And how much of the anti-vax movement has already been tracked to troll farms in the Ukraine?
Really?
Yes, it was a big story in the New York Times, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, that they had linked a lot of anti-vax information to these troll farms in the Ukraine.
And of course, there was always science. they always go back to that debunked study about the link between vaccine and autism. And, you know, I kind of want to touch on that, actually. What's so bad about autism?
Exactly. Like, people hate autism more than they hate polio.
I understand that there are a dead child. That's what I mean. Like, I understand there are going to be, you know, some difficulties with that. But would you rather have a child with autism and alive? Or would you rather have a child that, you know, has, oh, some, you know, terrible disease and dead?
And the side effects to some of those childhood illnesses, you know, rheumatic fever can give you lifelong heart conditions that totally debilitate your quality of life for the rest of your life.
Well, exactly. Like, I worked in, you know, in a certain community where a lot of people had rheumatic fever, and they're on, you know, penicillin shots for the rest of their life, getting bicillin shots every month or every couple of months. And that's their life for the rest of their life. And it's a painful injection. We have to mix it up with lignocaine just to numb it as it's going in, and it still hurts. So,
you know, one of my best friends is an adult with autism, and she's married, she has children, she's getting ready for the bar, she's living a very full life. She's fine. There's nothing wrong with her. Like, I don't see why autism is this like big horrible thing. Oh my God, let's not vaccinate our kids because autism. Just stop. Just stop. Just stop. You're an awful person. Just stop. I suppose that opinion is not, you know, shared with everyone and uncensored radio, but Katie thinks you're a terrible person if you're really bad against autism.
That's a Katie-approved comment, is it?
But it's sorry. Just sorry. Like the anti-mask movement. You're not willing to take the greater good into consideration. It's only about you, you know?
You know,
to protect communities.
I like that we're back on that, because my son started school this week. He is one of the few districts in our surrounding counties that is going, you know, full time 5 days a week.
He's fine. Katie, I remember you were saying you were having a lot of issues with people in that community.
I'm going somewhere with this. He's five. He has to wear a mask all day except at lunch. And he goes to an after school program where he has to wear it the whole time. Ask me how many times that child has complained. Go ahead.
None.
He is so happy to be back with his friends. He's so happy to see his teachers. He's so happy to be back in the after school program that he loves. I asked him, I said, has the mask given you any problems? No. Does it bother you? No. No big deal.
Because kids are adaptable and they don't have other agendas at play.
He says,
well, I don't know where.
He goes, I'm a little sweaty, but I could probably not play as hard. It's like, no, kid, you go hard. You do it. We can wash that mask. You go hard.
I don't know what PPE you're using, Luke, but I am giving injections.
Oh, we lost Vera.
I was having some problems with it, but I feel like they've been handling it pretty well. My kid is happy. He is so happy to be back in school. He's really excited to learn again. He's happy to just not be at home, and I guess I can't play. I'm a horrible teacher. So
my daughter's at daycare now, and it's so important to their development. This is years you'll never get back.
How I imagined his kindergarten year, but I'm just, you know, New York State has been 1% or under for about a month, maybe a little over. We haven't had a death in our county in a few weeks, I think, maybe a little longer. Don't quote me on that. Things are going pretty good here. So, the numbers keep kind of stabilizing or going down, and I feel better about it, but it's still a risk. My youngest just got his flu shot today. Get your flu shot, kids.
Actually, I'm going to get my child's flu shot yet. I still haven't. So, you know, I've had mine.
Well, you have to, don't you?
I mean.
I did. I had to have it at work, but you did.
I hate that this is the new normal, But I'm also so thankful to give him some type of normalcy. Vera, I miss you already, boo.
Oh, Vera. Well, you did warn us, girl. You did warn us.
She warned us, and she can still chime in. We'll say something, and she's just frantically typing at it. Going, God damn it.
Vera's becoming a keyboard warrior as we speak.
She's leveling up.
Becoming her ultimate form.
But it just blows my mind that, you know, people are, a lot of the things I see is, my kid won't wear a mask. He'll complain. He's so young. My five-year-old has zero issues with it. So what's your excuse?
Exactly. It's just the way it is. And, you know, and like, children aren't silly. They're aware of what's going on because they hear stuff and they talk about stuff and they hear it from whether it's daycare, the news, whatever, their grandparents talking. So, like, my three-year-old is aware that there's something going around that makes people sick.
Yeah.
So she'll deliberately, I've said this story before, like when she walks into somewhere public, because it's a big no-no, she'll sit there and she'll be like into her elbow just to watch people react. And I'll just be like, stop it.
Buffy!
She's a sociopath.
Insightful. She's insightful. But, you know, what can you do? We didn't get to talk about this on, I need to bring this up. We're going to get off COVID quickly because I talked about it with James and Jeff on Tuesday night, but I just need to talk about it.
You were right. They're
going to do Eye of the Tiger. It has been confirmed. And she's doing like a Paso Doble to it. Holy crap. Now, Steve, as a dance teacher, could you talk us through a Paso Doble?
So Paso Doble.
I need an example.
I'm not dancing for you. That costs extra.
I got to get up.
That's going to be our Patreon, you know?
Steve does a Paso Doble.
Are we I'm doing uncensored radio dancing with the stars? Who's going to be my partner?
Yeah.
I can't dance.
I'm out of the it should be a fairly easy start for her. Obviously, they're gonna try and keep her around as long as possible because she's gonna be probably the biggest media grabber.
Money maker.
You're saying she's bigger than Nelly.
I think she's bigger than Nelly right now.
Dude. Like this is you know. Going back to Scream 4, this is what the modern star is. Do you know what I mean?
All right, you know what?
You just have to have fucked up shit happen to you to be a star now.
I want her to dance to one of his songs.
She will never. That's something she won't agree to.
It's got to be Here, Kitty, Kitty. It's got to be Here, Kitty, Kitty. It's got to be.
But, like, the list that we had there, though, we had a lot of good songs. And, like,
bring it back up.
Was there? Like, yeah.
I love the Faster Kill Pussycat song. Who knew? Who knew Brittany Murphy could sing like that? She's amazing.
She didn't have a big music career.
There's apparently a half-recorded album floating around out there somewhere that no one's ever heard because she worked with Paul Oakenfield for Faster Kill Pussycat, and she was recording an album probably a couple of years before she passed away.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I love her, and I've always loved her too.
Do you reckon it will eventually see the light of day? Like, you know,
if it hasn't already, I mean,
yeah, that was kind of like it's very much a lower scale. But there was a guy who released so remember, Steve, this is an Australian group right now, Katie. You have no idea who they are. But it was Euphoria with Holly, who was in her 20s, and she'd committed suicide.
Oh, my God, I know who they are.
Amazing. But no, she was – they were part of a really good group. It was like a pop group. But she committed suicide. But this guy had released – he had worked with her because there was this big debate because there was two women that fronted this band. There was Karen and there was Holly. And then there was the guy who actually produced music who was Holly's boyfriend. There was these big conversations like, you know, Holly's voice wasn't that strong. It wasn't as good as Karen's. Karen was a real belter and singer. And they got Holly to lip sync to Karen's voice when the single was first released. And it caused a bit of controversy. Their subsequent singles showed both the girls singing in their own voice and whatever. But anyway, this producer had worked with Holly and actually put some clips on, I think it's on Soundwave or one of those things where she's actually singing like different types, like SoundCloud. And she's doing like ballads and stuff. And she could sing. It was just, you know, her voice and Karen's were very distinct.
Stuff like that is very like dependent on your record label, sadly. Like look at the stuff that we've gone through with Aaliyah and Black Ground. Her uncle runs it and holds the rights to all of her stuff. He also signed JoJo back in the day. She could not legally release music because she didn't own her own voice.
Oh, I love JoJo.
Wow. It feels a bit like Ashley O and Black Mirror.
Doing a bit of JoJo promo, her new album.
Shout out to JoJo.
I would die. Anyway, but one of JoJo's music videos that was from like, I don't know, 2009, 2008, has just leaked.
Oh.
That was never released. Do you know what I mean? There is so much stuff out there that you never know when it's going to come out. Like people like Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, Amy Winehouse, as soon as they died, any material they had, they were piecing together.
Well, like Prince supposedly has hours and hours and hours of stuff. Like the man was a perfectionist, and if he didn't like it, it was just shelved. But it's there. I would love to hear that stuff. And going back to the thing you said, they're Australian musicians. I think the only Australian musicians I know of are Silverchair. Where the hell have they been?
Oh, you know Kylie Minogue.
Kylie Minogue? Offensive.
I had to think about that, but no, sorry. It still, the first people that come to mind are Silverchair.
Oh my gosh.
Look,
Katie, I'm gonna steal you. Okay, during our online Friday the 13th.
Are we session gonna be listening to gay club music?
We're gonna listen like in between matches while we're in the lobby. We're gonna just play Katie some Australian pop music. Do you know Savage Garden?
I do know Savage Garden. I forgot they were Australian. I loved Savage Garden when they.
There you go, girl. There's a lot you got to cover. Did you know the Rogue Traders?
I don't think they ever.
Voodoo Child. Well, they were in like Doctor Who and stuff. They used that song.
Doctor Who's British.
Don't watch Doctor Who.
I don't watch Doctor Who.
He's British.
All right, I'm removing her from the stream.
Let's like wrap this up on like shows. Walking Dead, guys. Walking Dead.
What's happening with Walking Dead?
Walking Dead's done.
It's done as well. The Walking Dead have a lot of similarities.
Walking Dead is dead.
People's faces don't move.
No brain. they recently announced, I think it was 2 days ago, they announced that season 11 will be their final season of the core show. So The Walking Dead will end after season 11, but it is a massive 24-episode season.
Can I confess something? I gave up around season 9. It was bad.
I gave up after Andrea died. I was like early on.
Wow, you
I gave up season 4 and 5, but it got too weird.
You gave up too quick.
You gave up too quick. I gave up when I gave up with the whole Negan Glenn situation. I watched that episode
Can we discuss Negan for a second?
Yeah.
That man.
Glenn.
All right, no, Negan. She's having a moment, aren't you?
Do you love Negi?
Anyway.
Did you want him to take it back to you, bub?
I feel like the show jumped the shark of violence for violence's sake with that episode.
It's
gotten better.
Listen, the man is so charismatic, okay? Like, shit. Like
psychopaths are, bubs. We know this.
Oh my god, I can't explain why.
We're getting in Ted Bundy's car because he was
hold on. We're running out of time. So the main core message is there's going to be spin-offs from The Walking Dead, more spin-offs. There's one launching, but the show that's coming out that should have come out originally is a Daryl and Carol spin-off.
Are they together?
Daryl and Kaza.
You have no idea because he left too early. Carol is the
shit. Carol is
still on the show now. Is she still on the show right now, Carol?
Yes.
But she's really the only survivor right now.
There's a couple of them. They've done the Desperate Housewives time jump.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to get my dad on. My dad is a really big Walking Dead fan. He's been loyal for it even when I gave up. We'll just bring my dad on. He'll fill us all in. But anyways, Negan's it. He's hot. I can't get over it. I don't know why I'm rooting for the villain, but yes. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I love him. But anyways,
and he's a fighter in Tekken 7. He was a downloadable content, just randomly.
He was rumored to be Batman for a little while too, but I think that they're doing the they're going with Michael Keaton now instead.
Michelle Pfeiffer, which we're all excited
interesting
for.
Interesting fact about Negan: in the comics, his character was based on Henry Rollins. If you all don't know, don't know who Henry Rollins is, he is a.
Is Andrea still alive in the comics, or did she eventually die as well? Because she was alive in the comics after the original death.
She's gone.
She last found her in the comics, but she's gone. So Henry Rollins is a punk musician / actor / spoken word artist. He's just a jack of all trades. And this man, like, you can see it. And I thought it was really shocking when Henry Rollins said, "I didn't get the part." Like, it was written, like, based on you. But then seeing Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and it was like, yeah, that's okay.
Well, can we finish with these two clips, guys? I want to play them both.
Okay.
So I think they're amazing.
One. Go! Woo! Oh!
And obviously, also Jeffy's role as well.
Our fearless leader.
Jeff to die.
You know, guys, I think there's a clip of me somewhere.
Have you got a falling clip?
Yes, on a hoverboard. So
that'll be nice.
I'll have to find it and submit.
I'm sure there's an old school footage of me on stage somewhere doing a nice big stack. So I'll add it on. All right, we'll do a UCF reel.
All right, kids.
Well, it was fun, guys. And we're sorry, Vera, we lost you. We miss you, Jeff and James. And Angel wasn't here tonight. Ashley wasn't here. Marie was going to be here, but she had something on. Katrina's flying around the world somewhere, but, you know.
Katrina's trying to bag on, man. She's busy.
She's finding those oldies, and she's getting out of retirement. It's like Miranda was brought out of retirement. We'll talk about that in the next Uncensored Radio.
All right, kids.